right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. Okay. This is Mark Sussnell. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that makes a difference. And every week I invite various cutting-edge thought leaders to join us and to share their wisdom and their experiences with us. And I have somebody today, Peter Green. He's the founder of Workout Through Cancer. He's the author of My Cancer Journey. And he's going to share what he did to kind of bring him back to life and to survive and to call on support with people and just what his experience is. And his book is the kind of book that if you know somebody that is going through the cancer experience, it's a great tool to give them. So welcome, Peter Green. Thanks for
Thank you.
Being on my show, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. I know it's such a important topic, and so many people in our world seem to have a cancer diagnosis or any diagnosis. And I know I have looked at a little bit of your book and the information that I received from you, and it's always that moment of we found something we need to talk to you about. It's almost one of these conversations somebody says we need to talk, and you know before it even starts, it's not going to be good. So can you take us back in time to when that moment
sure.
was?
Absolutely. So it was October 2005, where I was working and living in, well, I was working in New York City and living right outside the city, and I had experienced some things within my system, more neurological, that for many months I had ignored. And once I could not ignore it any further, one particular incident, that's when I went to a neurologist and had an MRI, and very quickly, you know, the words that I was told is, we found something. And that's when immediately, you know, my world shifted from being the world I always knew and for the most part predictable to a world that totally did not know, didn't know what would come, but a huge transition both psychologically and physically.
So they said we found something.
Yes. So they said we found something. Immediately, you know, I look back now, and at the time, you know, my body was just reacting, and I recognized, I immediately started to, my heart rate shot way up, my adrenaline level. I started to have somewhat of a, you know, panic attack. How could this happen to me? Am I going to die? That's the first thing. Is this going to kill me? And, you know, then to be able to be settled down and start to understand what the oncologist is saying to you, and starting to absorb, okay, now this is going to be my life, and what are the next steps that I have to be taking?
And you had a 10-year-old son at the time.
I did.
Is that
right? I did. Yep, I was a single dad of a 10-year-old son. And I talk about this in my book. When I initially started to write my book, Mark, I was really wanted to mostly share the exercises that I developed when I was going through treatment back in 2005, which at that time, the doctors never talked about exercising in treatment, which has shifted as of, you know, today they are talking about that and the benefits, but at that time they didn't. And so once I started to write the book, again, this was you know, I wrote the book around a year or so ago and got published recently. But at that time, as I started to write, all the memories that I had not really, you know, I had bottled up for 10 years, I went back to my life as an executive in a large sales organization, and it just all came pouring in. The moment they said we found something, the transition from this world to that world, the, you know, the responsibility of me having to tell my family, my 10-year-old son, and all of these elements that cancer, people going through cancer and their families go through. And that became really part one of the book that talks about, you know, life doesn't care about your life prior to cancer, right? You still have responsibilities. Mm-hmm. You still have work.
Right.
You still have family. They still count on you. And how do you start to transition and be able to start to manage all of these aspects of your life?
Wow, that's, I mean, that's challenging. And so what did you, that's a good insight, is that you get this diagnosis, but life goes on, and you have to keep going.
You do.
Well, you don't have
a
choice.
But if you don't, you know, it just gets worse and worse. And sometimes, you know, as I talk about, look, the doctors have their teams, right? They have a radiologist, they have administrators,
right.
They have all, you know, they have their teams. And I always talk about, you need to form your team. I was lucky enough to have a large family that rallied and were able to really build a team, both when I was in Sloan Kettering going through treatment, when I was home with my son Benjamin. But a lot of people don't. And I'm glad to say today, so many of the cancer clinics and hospitals have such a great built-in support system that helps people who are not lucky enough to have a, you know, a family or a lot of friends take care of their situation. But it is a transition. I talk about it, that you have to, in many ways, you know, feel the fear, but let it run through you. That's natural. You know, cry, scream, have a panic attack. I did. But then you have to find your fight, because that's when you have to say, okay, this is what I have. What are the things I can do both to help my family, in my case, my 10-year-old son, and myself, you know, number one, live and get through this. It's an incredible experience, you know, now looking back on what happens to both family and the individual when they hear those words, we found something.
It's almost like a family disease.
Without a doubt. I call it, you know, the collateral effect, because it is absolutely a family disease. And family members go through many of the same things you go through. They start to feel fear, anxiety, depression, and they have to be, you know, cared for as well. And so when I developed these exercises, they allowed me to really do three specific things. I talk about it again. It was first and foremost, they allowed me to stay stronger through the treatment, which was a very, I was in a clinical trial at Sloan Kettering. It was an 8-month cycle of chemotherapy. And then initially I was supposed to, once I did that, go into isolation. And I remember when the nurses came in during my first session of chemotherapy, where I'd stay in the hospital up to 4 days to make sure that the chemotherapy cleared my kidneys. They bring out a razor and they say, you know, they start to want to shave my chest. And I said, what are you doing? And they said, well, we're putting a port in you. And I said, whoa, don't do that. You know, my 10-year-old son is already freaked out enough, and me coming home with a port is not something I want
him
to
experience.
What exactly
is a port?
So a port is a medical device that goes into the skin, where they can deliver chemotherapy and other medications and drugs much easier than sticking a needle into you. So it is it is the common practice, and it's very beneficial for a lot of people. I would never say don't do it. for me, and you go home with it and you have to clean it, it's permanent for the most part as you go through your treatment. And for me, I said, I do not want that. I'd rather have the needles in my, you know, the needles in my veins every time I come in and taking blood and all these things. That's what makes a port so good for so many. They don't have to get stuck. But I said, and they said, your veins will never hold up. And I said, don't worry about my veins. And 130 needles later, they did. Now, I'm not saying that because, you know, I'm a Superman. By no means am
right.
I was just choosing to say, I want to try this because I knew some of the ripple effects that would happen for my life when I went back home with my son.
So how you were? So it's, you were in New York. I mean, you lived in New York. Is this my understanding?
I lived right outside New York City, and so I was treated at Sloan Kettering in the city.
Oh, so that is in New. I thought. So that's in New York then.
That's in New York.
And then you lived at home. You went there for the treatment.
I did. So my cycle was 4 days in the hospital, 10 days home, 4 days back, and that is went on for 8 cycles. And then after that, I had 25 days of full brain radiation.
Wow. And that was 10 years ago. What was the prognosis? I mean, that's what I guess the big thing. You got cancer, and then there's a prognosis. What did they tell you?
It's a great question, and I didn't ask. And I think this is a really important element, is I didn't want someone putting a number on my what stage I had. Because once they put a number on it, then immediately, whether it was stage 3, stage 4, you know, that puts me into a mindset. I said, regardless of whatever number they put on me, I need to fight. And I'd rather not have a number put on me about what stage it was and how aggressive it was and so forth. So, because I think it sets people up for internal expectations. Oh my gosh, I'm at stage 4. I don't know what to do. I'm going to give up. I'm too tired. And that's something that I never wanted to know. But
what were a couple of things I wanted to talk about? One was, you know, what these exercises are, and but what about your son? That must have been hard for you do you mind sharing that conversation?
No, not at all. I mean, first of all, Benjamin was with me when I had the incident that I couldn't ignore anymore. I was actually home on my computer. It was a Sunday afternoon, and I was on my computer with my mouse, and I told my mouse to move to, you know, start to work on the site I was on, and nothing happened. And I looked down at my hand, and immediately I was saying move. My hand didn't move, so the brain-to-hand connection wasn't working. And immediately my whole arm went numb. And I realized that was from the, you know, the anxiety that what is going on. And I stood up, and I went and sat down in a chair. In some ways, I thought I could be having a heart attack. And I called for Benjamin, and he came in. I said, Benjamin, if Daddy falls over, you need to call 911. At the same time, you got to find humor in life. We had just had a 6-month-old puppy that was getting all excited and was jumping on my lap, and Benjamin ran and got the phone and was dancing on one foot from the other. Want me to call, Dad? Want me to call? And I'm thinking inside, oh, God, please, don't let me fall over. This will not be a good situation. And I was able to bring myself back and calm myself a bit. And then I said, I'm okay. Daddy's okay. Don't worry about it. And that's when I placed a call and, you know, started the process. But that was the sign, and he was there. And so he kind of put it away. He didn't ask about it. He saw that I was okay. But then when I got the diagnosis, I was, number one concern is, how am I going to tell this child in a way that is not going to freak him
right.
out. Benjamin already was a very sensitive young, you know, little boy, and I remember
right.
His mother, we're divorced. I called her and I said, "Look, Nancy, this is what's happening. We got to tell him together." And immediately, when his mother and I sat down on the couch, he looked at us and said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Well, Daddy is, you know, has to go into the hospital for a couple of things over the next couple of months." And he shot up, raced over, and he said, "You're not going to die. You're not going to die. Promise me you're not going to die, Dad. Promise me you're
wow.
not going to die." And I said, "I made that promise." And I said, "Okay, I'm not going to die," which really was a huge, obviously, motivator for me. And even, I'll say, even post-treatment, and for a number of years, whenever I had a headache or something, you know, I was tired, he would say, "Are you okay? Is the cancer back?"
Mm-hmm.
And so you talk about these ripple effects that family members live with. Not as much as you in some cases, but very powerful. That anytime you get sick or you are weak, is it back? Are we going to go through this experience again? So that's
so
how we adjust.
That must have been really an emotional moment for all of you.
It was very emotional, but at the same time, I wanted to be strong for him. I'll tell you, the other individual was telling my father. So I'm one of five
right.
children, and I remember, and I talk about this a lot, when you get diagnosed, it is a huge burden. You're saying, how am I going to message this now to all my family, work, all of these people who have no idea what's going on? And I remember reaching out to my sister, and she knew I was going for this MRI and that anything could come from this. And I called her on the after the diagnosis on my way home, and I told her, and I said, "Kathy, you need to be my voice. I can't be calling everyone and telling them, and the family's too big. I have to focus on Benjamin and next steps." And this is where I talk about a team. So my sister made all the calls to my brothers, but I said, "Don't tell Dad yet. Let me find out more information about this, because he'll lose it." And so that was really important. And then when I was prepared after doing a lot of different test and understanding what the process was going to be, that's when he lives close by. I went and visited him, and he had a heads up, and that was very emotional, because, you know, for a parent to see one of their children sick and the possibility of a child dying before they did was really something that rocked his world. So I
sure.
felt like I was in a way trying to take care of both my son, 10-year-old, and my father, who at the time was 80.
I mean, that it really adds to the whole gestalt. I mean, you're dealing with your own anxiety and fears and emotions, and then you're also sensitive to those around you, and sometimes their reactions are out of control, even more than yours sometimes, because you've come to terms with whatever it is, and in the meanwhile, you've got a plan, a strategy,
right.
where the other people are kind of living in fear.
Well, you're right, they're standing by. There's really not much they can do except be there to support you, where, you know, you being the cancer patient, hopefully, are taking actions and trying to do the best you can to get through this, you know, this component, this part of your life.
So let's do this. I want to take a second here to remind
sure.
you listening to our show, you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. Our guest today is Peter Green. He's the author of My Cancer Journey, and he also, I believe it's your website, workoutthroughcancer.com. He's
yep.
the founder of that. And where can people, first of all, get your book?
So they can get my book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble online. It is also, you can get it off my site and order it, workoutthroughcancer.com, and it also is in Kindle.
So workoutthroughcancer.com is your site.
That's correct.
And so we have about 7 or 8 minutes left.
Sure.
Could you briefly just tell us a little bit about these exercises? What
Absolutely.
Did you do them while you were getting the chemo and radiation?
Absolutely. So that is really what I developed. So, yeah, I remember going home from the hospital after that first round of chemotherapy.
And one other question,
really,
Peter, were you like,
sure.
Did you work out before your diagnosis? Were you somebody like
I did.
I've
always been involved in exercises, so that was natural for me, though. I'll tell you what I designed, which, because I recognize a lot of people don't exercise, and especially it's doubly hard once you get this diagnosis. And so I came home from my first, 4-day bout in the hospital. I was exhausted, and I literally just collapsed on my couch. And I probably stayed on that couch for the next 10 to 12 hours. And just laying there, I talk about this in the book, it felt like such a safe little cocoon, but I knew I had to do something, and I physically eased myself on the floor, and I just did a stretch. I stretched my hands out, laying flat on my back over my head, and immediately, Mark, I started to feel this sensation of blood pushing through my body and felt a sense of more, it just felt good. It felt good that my body and my blood was circulating through my system. And from there, I started to build out over the next week and, as I was going through my cancer treatment, different motions that I could do in my exercises. So I started to incorporate a very light weight ball where I could do certain things with the weight ball because, I didn't know at the time. It felt good to me, breathing and pushing, very kind of meditative core mm-hmm. exercises. I had a rubber strap that I could do things with and stretch. And all of this, from a medical standpoint now, you recognize how it increases the blood flow, which are the antioxidants to fight the cancer. The endorphins get, raised in your system. The breathing, you start to also want to continue to build muscle, not to atrophy, because that doesn't help as you're mm-hmm. going through cancer. And now they say the chemotherapy even works better in your system if you exercise. It activates better in your system to fight the cancer. Now,
wow.
A lot of people say, well, I don't exercise. This is hard. One of the key things for me is these are exercises you can do in your home, because I recognize a lot
That's
of
what
people
I was
when they
ask
have
you.
Cancer.
Thank you.
Yes,
that was my next question.
Is...
what about? So you can
yeah.
do it at home, and
you can
is
do
there
them at
a,
home.
A routine of
there is.
Certain exercises? It's... How long does a routine take?
Well, it can take as quickly as 20 minutes. I mean, these are some of these exercises you can be. Any time. So let me tell you what's in the kit. You have a yoga mat, you have a 4-pound weight ball, a 2-pound Pilates ball, a little squeeze ball, 2 stretch bands, and that's what you have. So I recognize that sometimes people going through cancer can't get down on the ground. And so these exercises are also very adaptive, where you can be sitting in a chair or on the couch. You can be watching television, but shouldn't. You should really focus on the movements and the breathing. And you can do these sitting in a chair where the stretch band, I have a DVD and USB drive that comes in the toolkit that is provided on my site. So one of the things in building out my company, Work Out Through Cancer, outside of providing advice and stories for people and different blogs to talk about what people are going through and others are going through. These exercises, first and foremost, are oncologist approved. So they're approved by a Yale-trained oncologist. They are very adaptive, so you don't have to be a workout guru to do these. You didn't have to work out at all. I actually train people. When they get diagnosed, I bring them a kit, what we call our fitness pack, which has all the tools that I used when I was going through my cancer. I still use them today at home. And there's a DVD and USB drive that has videos of me going through the exercises so people can start to learn them. And again, I say, look, when people get cancer, friends and family jump in, and the first thing they say is, what can I do? How can I help? And typically they're going to send flowers, a fruit basket,
right,
maybe make a meal. These are all great things. It makes the person who's giving them feel very good. But if you talk to cancer patients, half the time they can't taste the food. Half the time they don't want to smell flowers. It can make them nauseous. And so I talk about the fitness pack is something that you can give them, even though you might be feeling, well, is this the right thing to give them? Are they going to exercise? At least you give them the option to have a better chance to survive their cancer treatment and beyond.
So the fitness package is available to get on your website. Somebody can get that.
Yes, it is.
Give it to a loved one. So everything's
all
packaged up, and you ship it to
wherever
they are.
It's all packaged up. Yep.
Everything you talk
about. Oh, well, can I go to Amazon and buy this and that? Of course you can. We priced it that it's more competitive, but people want it immediately, and they get everything there in order so they can start to fight.
Well, I want to thank you, Peter, for sharing your journey, my cancer journey.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a topic that everybody that is concerned about, I think everybody either has had cancer or knows somebody close to them that's had cancer. And
yeah, we have estimated that everyone's touched by it, unfortunately.
Yeah. And so it's great to have somebody talk about something that is, you know, kind of a dreaded word with some people, and to talk about it so candidly and openly. And I think you're an inspiration to many other people who get those diagnoses, and to realize it's not the end. It's just fact. It sounds like with yourself, it might have just really been a beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. As sometimes I look back, I say, in some ways, I've never felt so alive than when I was going through this, because everything is heightened in your life, and to have that experience is unique. Unfortunately, I had to go through cancer to get it. But in some ways, it's a gift that I didn't want to waste.
Right. You could have done without it, huh?
I could have done without it. I could have done without it, but at the same time, I had it, and now I am really, it's my passion and mission to help those and their families going through their cancer journey, both in treatment and very specifically post-treatment, because sometimes the person is fighting so hard in treatment that once they finish that treatment and they step back into the world they had left, it can be overwhelming. And a lot of people think, oh, you're good now. Come on, come back to work. Do this, do that. Your life has changed, and you got to recognize it and hopefully be able to take away that experience and decide how you want to move forward. And from my standpoint, both mentally and physically, we have a saying across our site, and really what we talk about, our tagline, ultimately it's your body, your mind, your fight.
Well, thank you again, Peter Green. And again, to get a hold of Peter Green, go to workoutthroughcancer.com. And until next week, journey on, when we'll have another amazing person share their wisdom with us. And thanks again to Peter Green, founder of Workout Through Cancer and the author of My Cancer Journey.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.